In a world of dating apps and social media, She Gets the Girl offers a refreshing take on romance that begins with an unlikely friendship. This New York Times bestseller by wife duo Rachel Lippincott and Allison Derrick has captured readers with its authentic portrayal of college life, self-discovery, and unexpected love. The novel resonated deeply with LGBTQ+ readers who praised its representation of queer relationships without making sexuality the central conflict. Celebrity fans include musicians Hayley Kiyoko and Fletcher, who both shared the book on their Instagram stories, calling it the sapphic romance we've been waiting for. What makes this story stand out is how it subverts the classic player helps shy person get their crush trope by having the matchmaker fall for their protege, creating a narrative that's both familiar and refreshingly unpredictable. Alex Blackwood embodies the archetypal player, magnetic, self-assured, and masterfully keeping others at arm's length. Her carefully constructed walls crumble during what should be a routine goodbye with her girlfriend Natalie. When Natalie vulnerably confesses her love in the dimly lit comfort of her bedroom, Alex's characteristic charm deserts her. The silence that follows speaks volumes, leading to a devastating argument where Natalie strikes at Alex's core wound, the fear that she's destined to mirror her alcoholic mother's path of isolation and failed relationships. The comparison lands with precision, forcing Alex to confront the pattern she spent years perfecting. As her train departs for Pittsburgh, Alex finds herself in unfamiliar territory. For the first time, watching someone fade into the distance brings an ache she can't dismiss. Natalie isn't just another casual relationship to discard. She represents everything Alex both wants and fears, leaving her torn between running toward or away from real connection. Molly Parker's college journey begins with an administrative error that feels like cosmic punishment. Her single dorm room assignment shatters her carefully laid plans for social transformation. As someone who rehearses casual conversations in her head and finds small talk exhausting, Molly had counted on a roommate to be her social anchor in this new chapter. Instead, she's left to navigate the bustling campus alone, her only familiar face being Cora Myers, the subject of countless unspoken crushes throughout high school. Cora represents everything Molly wishes she could be, effortlessly social, genuinely kind, and completely unattainable. Their worlds collide at a raucous college party where Alex, seeking to maintain her reputation, publicly exposes Molly's inexperience during Never Have I Ever. The humiliation could have ended their interaction permanently, but a twist of fate puts them in Molly's car later that night. As Alex observes Molly's wistful glances at Cora, her player's instinct recognizes an opportunity. She proposes an unexpected arrangement. She'll transform Molly from wallflower to romantic lead, using her extensive dating expertise to help win Cora's affections. For Alex, this mentorship offers a chance at redemption, proof to Natalie, who's scheduled to perform nearby, that she's capable of putting someone else's needs first. Molly's initial skepticism is warranted. After all, Alex had just publicly humiliated her. But desperation and a hidden desire for transformation lead her to accept Alex's five-step plan for romantic success. What begins as a calculated exchange, Alex's expertise for a shot at redemption, Molly's cooperation for a chance with Cora, gradually evolves into something neither woman anticipated. Their unlikely alliance becomes a mirror, reflecting back their deepest insecurities. Alex's fear of genuine intimacy and Molly's struggle to be seen for who she truly is. As they navigate this unexpected friendship, both women find themselves confronting the very parts of themselves they've worked so hard to hide. Alex Blackwood has spent her life perfecting the art of keeping people at arm's length. Growing up with an alcoholic mother and an absent father left deep emotional scars, teaching her that love is unreliable and vulnerability leads to pain. When we first meet Alex, she's unable to say I love you to Natalie despite genuinely caring for her, and she discovers most of her contacts are merely hookups rather than real friends. In Pittsburgh, Alex continues her pattern of avoidance, taking pre-med courses to ensure financial stability rather than pursuing her passion for literature, working at a food truck to support herself and send money to her mother, and fixating on winning Natalie back rather than examining why their relationship failed. Her plan to help Molly is initially self-serving, a way to prove to Natalie that she can be selfless. What Alex doesn't anticipate is how Molly's authenticity begins to chip away at her carefully constructed walls. During their questions game while walking around campus, Alex finds herself genuinely enjoying Molly's company without any ulterior motives. When they visit the library together, Alex's childhood sanctuary during her parents' fights, she shares personal truths she's never told anyone. "I don't want to live my whole life like this, where the library is the only place that feels safe because I'm alone." This vulnerability marks a turning point for Alex. For the first time, she's not running away from intimacy, but toward it. When her mother's drinking spirals into a car accident, Alex finally confronts the pattern of enabling she's perpetuated by sending money without addressing the underlying addiction. By getting her mother into rehab, Alex demonstrates a newfound courage to face problems directly rather than escaping them. Alex's transformation culminates in her confrontation with Natalie, where she finally recognizes that their relationship was toxic. "Maybe I couldn't open up to you because you weren't worth it," she realizes, finally understanding that vulnerability isn't a weakness, but a choice reserved for those who deserve it. When she eventually tells Molly, "I'm so in love with you," it's not just a romantic declaration, but evidence of her complete transformation, from someone who runs from feelings to someone brave enough to embrace them. While Alex struggles with emotional walls, Molly battles social anxiety and a lifetime of feeling invisible. Her character arc revolves around finding her voice, literally and figuratively. At the beginning of the novel, Molly can barely speak to strangers without panicking, let alone express her true feelings or desires. Her four-year crush on Cora represents not just romantic longing, but a fantasy of being seen and valued. Molly's relationship with her mother further complicates her journey to self-discovery. Beth Parker is well-meaning but overprotective, having been Molly's only friend throughout high school. Their dynamic is further complicated by Beth's complicated relationship with her Korean heritage. She experienced racial bullying as a child and subsequently distanced herself from her cultural background, creating an identity conflict for Molly, who feels disconnected from part of herself. Through Alex's five-step plan, Molly begins to emerge from her shell. The steps, getting Cora's number, dressing to impress, asking her out, creating a connection, and confessing feelings, serve as a framework for Molly's broader personal growth. Each achievement builds her confidence, from successfully getting Cora's number at rugby tryouts to engaging in text conversations without overthinking every word. A pivotal moment comes when Molly is invited to a dorm game night and discovers her talent for ping pong impresses others. For perhaps the first time, she experiences the joy of being authentically herself in a social setting rather than trying to be invisible. She realizes, "Maybe my reputation as the quiet girl was partly my own doing," acknowledging her agency in changing how others perceive her. The shopping trip with Alex and her mother forces Molly to confront her complex feelings about her identity. When Beth makes racist comments about Korean food trucks, Molly finally addresses the elephant in the room, how her mother's rejection of her heritage has affected Molly's own sense of belonging. This confrontation, though painful, marks Molly's growing ability to advocate for herself and her needs. By the novel's conclusion, Molly's transformation is complete when she realizes her feelings for Alex and pursues her at the library. Running through the stacks in her formal dress with her shoes kicked off, Molly is finally acting on her desires rather than passively hoping someone will notice her. When she tells Alex, "It was always you," she's not just declaring romantic love, but affirming her newfound ability to recognize and express what she truly wants. What makes She Gets the Girl particularly compelling is how it portrays the evolution from friendship to romance. Unlike many love stories that begin with instant attraction, Alex and Molly's relationship develops through shared experiences, vulnerability, and genuine understanding, elements often missing from Alex's previous relationships based primarily on physical chemistry. Their connection builds through seemingly mundane moments, watching Winona Earp together in Molly's dorm room, making palachinkas, Croatian pancakes at Noah's apartment, and sitting in silence in the library stacks. These experiences create an intimacy that neither character anticipated, but both desperately needed. For Alex, Molly represents someone who sees beyond her charming facade, while for Molly, Alex is the first person who encourages rather than protects her. The practice date at the roller rink marks a significant turning point in their relationship. What begins as preparation for Molly's date with Cora transforms into a genuine romantic experience. Alex finds herself nervous before picking Molly up, fussing with her appearance in a way she never does for casual hookups. When she sees Molly dressed up, she's momentarily speechless, a stark contrast to her usually glib demeanor. The physical awareness between them grows throughout the evening, with lingering touches and prolonged eye contact neither can dismiss as purely platonic. Their almost kiss in the library crystallizes the shift in their relationship. In the quiet sanctuary of the stacks, both women lower their defenses completely. Alex shares her childhood trauma, and Molly affirms her worth with unwavering conviction. The electric tension between them is palpable as Alex whispers, "If this were a real date, this would be the part where we kiss." The moment is interrupted by Cora's text, but the acknowledgement of their mutual attraction can't be undone. What makes their eventual romance so satisfying is how it subverts both characters' expectations. Molly, who spent years pining for the perfect Cora, discovers that real connection comes not from fantasy, but from being fully known and accepted. Alex, who believed herself incapable of love, finds that the right person doesn't make her want to run, but gives her a reason to stay. Their love story works because it's built on friendship, mutual growth, and the courage to choose vulnerability over safety. The novel's supporting characters serve as both mirrors and contrasts to the protagonists, highlighting different aspects of Alex and Molly's journeys. Cora Myers, Molly's longtime crush, represents an idealized fantasy rather than a real connection. Her perfection, from her pixie cut to her rainbow sweatband, makes her more symbol than substance for much of the story. When Molly finally gets to know the real Cora, she realizes they don't share the same sense of humor or values, underscoring the novel's theme that genuine connection requires authenticity rather than idealization. Natalie Ramirez, Alex's kinda, sorta girlfriend, serves as a foil to Molly. Where Molly is genuine and accepting, Natalie is judgmental and manipulative. Her cutting remark to Molly at the concert, "You're nothing special," reveals her insecurity and contrasts sharply with Molly's ability to see the good in Alex. Natalie represents Alex's past pattern of choosing passionate but ultimately toxic relationships over meaningful connection. Noah, Molly's brother, provides a model of healthy sibling support. His apartment serves as a safe haven for Molly, and his encouragement helps her take social risks she might otherwise avoid. His relationship with Alex, they immediately bond over music festivals, foreshadows the potential harmony between Alex and the Parker family, suggesting Alex could find the belonging she's always lacked. Beth Parker, Molly's mother, embodies the complex nature of parental love, simultaneously supportive and stifling. Her overprotectiveness stems from genuine concern but impedes Molly's independence. Their conflict over Beth's rejection of her Korean heritage adds depth to Molly's identity struggles and highlights how parental wounds shape our adult relationships. Beth's eventual support of Molly's decision to follow her heart shows growth on both their parts. Jim, Alex's gruff food truck boss, unexpectedly becomes a mentor figure. His own history with addiction provides Alex with perspective on her mother's struggles, and his generosity in paying for her mother's rehab demonstrates the kind of selfless support Alex has never experienced. His advice, "Don't run from it. Don't End Up Old and Alone Like Me becomes a catalyst for Alex's decision to confront her feelings for Molly. Throughout She Gets the Girl, physical spaces serve as powerful metaphors for emotional states and personal growth. The Carnegie Library emerges as a pivotal sanctuary for both protagonists, though for different reasons. For Alex, it represented childhood refuge during her parents' volatile arguments, a place where books offered escape and stability when her home life provided neither. For Molly, the library transforms from a quiet study space into the backdrop for unexpected romance, its towering shelves and hushed atmosphere creating an intimate cocoon where she finally discovers love. Their shared moment between the stacks, surrounded by thousands of stories while creating their own, symbolizes the safe haven they've built together, sheltered from external judgments and societal expectations. Pittsburgh itself functions as a transformative liminal space, a city of bridges and transitions where both women can shed their old identities and forge new paths. For Alex, the city represents liberation from her mother's destructive addiction patterns and the suffocating weight of Natalie's expectations. For Molly, Pittsburgh offers an opportunity to rewrite her narrative, breaking free from her high school identity as the quiet girl and exploring who she might become. The university setting proves ideal for this metamorphosis, its unique blend of anonymity and community allowing both women to experiment with new versions of themselves while still feeling connected to something larger. Molly's single dorm room undergoes its own evolution throughout the narrative. What begins as a symbol of her isolation, a reminder that she hasn't found her place yet, gradually transforms into a sacred space of authenticity. Within these four walls, she and Alex can drop their carefully constructed personas, sharing vulnerability, laughter, and increasingly intimate moments. Similarly, Noah's apartment serves as neutral territory, a space removed from campus politics and social hierarchies where Alex and Molly's relationship can develop organically, free from prying eyes and preconceptions. The roller rink emerges as perhaps the most symbolically rich location, its retro charm and dreamy atmosphere creating a temporary escape from reality. Under the guise of practice for their romantic pursuits, Alex and Molly can explore their growing attraction through shared physical contact and playful interactions. The dim lighting, vintage music, and necessity of holding hands while skating allows them to experience romantic intimacy while maintaining plausible deniability about their deepening feelings. By the novel's conclusion, the concept of home undergoes a profound transformation, shifting from physical location to emotional connection. When Alex confesses that being with Molly feels like coming home instead of running away, she articulates the story's fundamental truth. The genuine belonging isn't found in buildings or cities, but in the rare and precious experience of being truly seen, understood, and chosen by another person. Their journey demonstrates how sometimes we must leave familiar spaces to find where we truly belong, and that home can be found in the most unexpected of places, including another person's heart. While Alex's five-step plan provides the novel's structural framework, the story ultimately reveals that genuine connection can't be reduced to a formula. The steps work not because they're foolproof tactics, but because they push both characters out of their comfort zones, forcing growth and authenticity. This becomes particularly evident when Alex's carefully orchestrated plans repeatedly collapse, yielding unexpected but more meaningful results, like the disastrous cooking date but ends in takeout and honest conversation about their childhoods. The first lesson is that vulnerability, though frightening, is essential for real connection. Alex's inability to say "I love you" to Natalie stems not from lack of feeling, but fear of rejection, a fear rooted in watching her parents' marriage crumble through years of emotional withdrawal. Her eventual declaration to Molly works because she's finally brave enough to risk heartbreak for the possibility of genuine love. This transformation is highlighted in small moments throughout the novel, sharing embarrassing stories, admitting to professional insecurities, and eventually opening up about her family's painful history. Second, the novel demonstrates that true compatibility comes from shared values and mutual understanding rather than surface-level attraction. Molly's years-long crush on Cora dissolves when she realizes they don't laugh at the same things or share fundamental perspectives. Their supposedly perfect coffee date reveals how little they connect on deeper issues, from career ambitions to family values. Conversely, her connection with Alex, initially her polar opposite, deepens through genuine conversation and shared experiences, from their mutual love of obscure documentaries to their complementary approaches to problem-solving. Third, both protagonists learn that love requires seeing people as they are, not as projections of our desires or fears. Molly idealizes Cora until actually spending time with her reveals their incompatibility, particularly in how they handle conflict and express emotion. Alex assumes all relationships will follow her parents' dysfunctional pattern until Molly shows her a different possibility through consistent emotional availability and honest communication. Perhaps most importantly, the novel illustrates that self-acceptance precedes romantic success. Molly must embrace her quirks, her rambling storytelling style, her intense enthusiasm for niche interests, her tendency to overthink, and find her voice before she can pursue what she truly wants. Alex needs to confront her fear of becoming like her mother before she can trust herself to love without running away, a journey that includes therapy sessions and challenging conversations with her sister about their shared past. The story weaves these lessons through small everyday moments, shared laughter over failed recipes, quiet support during work crises, and the gradual building of trust through consistent presence. By the story's conclusion, both women have learned that love isn't about following steps or winning someone over. It's about creating a space where both people can be authentically themselves. Their romance succeeds not because they followed a perfect plan, but because they've each done the internal work necessary to be ready for love when it unexpectedly appears, proving that the best relationships often develop naturally when we're brave enough to be ourselves. At its heart, She Gets the Girl is about the courage required to pursue happiness rather than safety. Both protagonists begin the story making choices based on fear. Alex avoids emotional intimacy to prevent abandonment, while Molly remains silent to avoid rejection. Their journey together teaches them that while vulnerability carries risks, the alternative, isolation, guarantees loneliness. This theme resonates throughout the novel as both characters navigate their complex relationships with family, friends, and potential romantic partners. Alex's transformation is perhaps the most dramatic. From someone who couldn't say "I love you" to Natalie despite caring for her, she becomes capable of declaring her love for Molly in the library stacks. Her evolution unfolds through a series of increasingly brave choices: helping her mother get treatment rather than enabling her addiction, confronting Natalie about their toxic relationship instead of trying to win her back, and ultimately opening herself to genuine connection with Molly. Each decision represents Alex choosing long-term happiness over short-term comfort. The novel skillfully illustrates how these choices, while difficult, gradually build Alex's emotional resilience and capacity for authentic relationships. Molly's growth is equally significant, though more subtle. When she finally has the opportunity to kiss Cora, fulfilling her 4-year fantasy, she realizes it's not what she truly wants. This moment of clarity comes after months of personal development and self-discovery. Her decision to leave the art gala in search of Alex demonstrates newfound confidence in her own desires and judgment. Rather than settling for the relationship she thought she wanted, she pursues the connection that makes her feel truly seen and valued. The author particularly excels at showing how Molly's journey involves not just overcoming shyness, but learning to trust her own instincts and desires. The novel's conclusion affirms that happiness comes not from following prescribed paths, but from having the courage to recognize and pursue what genuinely fulfills us. When Alex and Molly finally kiss in the library, it represents not just romantic resolution, but the culmination of their parallel journeys toward authenticity. They've each overcome their unique obstacles, Alex's fear of vulnerability and Molly's fear of rejection, to choose happiness over safety. Their relationship succeeds precisely because they've done the internal work necessary to be ready for real intimacy. In this way, She Gets the Girl transcends its romantic comedy framework to deliver a powerful message about self-acceptance and courage. The real happily ever after isn't just finding love, but finding the bravery to be fully ourselves, messy, imperfect, and worthy of love, not despite our flaws, but inclusive of them. The novel demonstrates that true happiness often requires challenging our comfortable patterns and facing our deepest fears. Through Alex and Molly's intertwining journeys, readers learn that while the path to authentic happiness may be difficult, it's ultimately more fulfilling than the safety of familiar patterns and comfortable compromises.